Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Nintendo's Game Boy Advance launches today here in the U.S. The long-awaited mobile gaming machine has some rather impressive features.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. And with me, as always,
Ben Vanella here, Tommy. It's good to be here. Got a lot of shit to talk about today. No fucking around in the intro.
Yeah.
I'm a happy little boy with a full plate. My name's Adam Knox. That's how I always used to feel with a full plate. Remember when you'd be a kid?
Yep.
And there'd be a full plate sitting in front of you.
Just loaded up.
Oh, it was one of the best feelings.
You know what I think?
Yeah. I still like it to this day.
Best feeling in the world. You're at the buffet. You've done your first lap around,
okay,
and you've got your plate that is just absolutely eyes bigger than the stomach. Oh. Mm-hmm. Loaded up. You haven't started to eat it yet and feel sick, but you're just the world. Or you know what? Probably even better than that, stepping up to the buffet with the plate.
Right.
A world of possibilities.
The smorgasbord.
You haven't
in front
had to
you.
Factor
the whole
in
world
the
is
like,
your oyster or pizza or spaghetti. Mm-hmm.
You haven't had to factor in like the architecture of the plate and how you're going to fit everything on. Yeah. And
I remember putting a slice of pizza on top of a pile of rice at a buffet once.
Sure, it's like the Bachelor's Parma.
They it was oh man, everything from the East and the West together in a
beautiful fusion.
Seemingly mismatching,
right?
To bigots looking at that plate,
right?
But you put some rice on top of that pizza and eat it.
Oh,
it's actually fucking sick.
That's yeah, it. the gentleman's yumcha.
Oh yeah,
the fat man's food.
Yep, lament. I remember being at a buffet in Vegas once, getting breakfast, and we were there pretty sort of late on in breakfast.
A Vegas buffet.
A Vegas buffet.
Oh my god.
Vegas breakfast buffet. We're in the middle of us being there. They started just filtering in some of the lunch stuff.
Oh, my.
And we thought, oh, we're going to get the wrap up because, a different sort of section of the buffet is starting.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, we're just, so all of a sudden,
wow.
I'm going back. I'm getting an omelette and a lasagna. God, good it was Lord. Just awesome.
You went straight from the buffet into the Angel and they let you just keep watching. Oh.
If you had some spicy food, you might have got a fire fly ye ass.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is me eating from the buffet. What are you eating? You're fucking ridiculous. Fuck you for eating.
Oh.
That's Joss Whedon, you see.
Yeah, he's really mean.
Oh.
If you want to, what?
Nothing.
That reminded Ben of something. I think he just texted me.
It reminded me of something. If you want to
I'm hungry.
You can hear us talk about, well, you can hear me a few weeks ago talk about watching Firefly for the first time.
Yes.
On a bonus episode on our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
If you get on there, you get a bonus episode every week where we talk movies, TV shows, other stuff in culture that's not video games.
Mm.
We're doing a little spoiler section every week on Succession at the moment. So if you're watching that if you enjoyed the kind of discussions we were having about The Last of Us TV show on our Clicker I Barely Know Her podcast, then get onto the Patreon. And get our bonus episodes every week.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod. And there's also links always down below.
I'm raring to talk about Succession. It's such a... We record that in exactly 1 week behind air date.
Yeah. So yeah.
I got to spend all week just bubble it away.
It bare naked lady run. Style.
We do. We should start every recap with, It's been. Yeah.
Well,
and we will from now on.
But every previously on that's on a TV show should have that.
Oh, true.
Because that's basically what the previously on is telling you.
God,
that
yeah.
it's been 1 week since these things happened.
But no, they never tell you. They never tell you that it's been a week.
In universe, yeah.
It might have been like an hour.
I guess 24, you could do it's been one day.
Or well, one hour. Yeah. It's been zero time, actually, as well, because from the end
they run
last
straight
episode.
In. Well, if they were showing you the start of the previous episode, it's been one hour since these things happened.
Yes, it was good when they used to get the characters to say... I loved that. In character, too.
Yeah.
You get fucking, here's Becca, not Becca, but, you know, coming out and being like, oh, last week this happened. And, that was great. Doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. It's just a boom. And previously on is written on the screen.
Yeah, when Jerry used to be like, previously on Seinfeld.
The Mandalorians should be saying how, last week on The Mandalorian. It was so much fun because you'd be like, do they know they're in a show?
Right.
What was the last show? I remember The OC did it and being like, Sandy Cohen's getting a run this week.
Okay.
Giving out the previously on.
I feel like, Lost didn't do it. It just had flashbacks. But I feel like they should have.
It's for some, I guess it's, you know, the era of prestige TV. It seems ridiculous to have brand tell you in voice what happened last week at Game of Thrones. But I can do this. Previously on Filthy Casuals.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft are taking over Activision.
Yeah.
This time on Filthy Casuals.
They do always
Microsoft are not taking over Activision.
They put in something in the previously on where it's going to be really relevant this episode.
It always
gives away what
the episode's
so,
about.
And
guess what? A character died this week.
Yeah.
The Activision acquisition by Microsoft has been heavily blocked.
Bobby Kotick?
He's still the Activision guy.
Activision, yeah. He like put out a little notes, not an apology, although he should have several
should have
times.
Yeah.
But he put out a little note being like, oh no, like this is annoying, but like we're going to forge ahead. Don't worry. I assume for like shareholder, you know, confidence.
So if it does get put down for this reason.
The Activision acquisition,
if that gets put down.
That sounds like a Seinfeldism.
They could have quit the Activision acquisition though. There's a thing called the CMA in the UK, which stands for like the competition.
The CMA in the UK on the Activision acquisition.
They ate a fly, which is why the rest of it happened afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
It really got bigger than you'd expect. But it's the competition and markets authority. And the reason that they gave.
I thought it was the Country Man's Association.
Oh.
Why?
Because there's the CWA, the Country Women's Association.
Oh, I see. When's Country Man's Day?
Where's the Country Man's Association?
I thought it was Good Morning America.
I want a Lamington made by a bloke.
I always knew that it was Competition and Market Authority. I did not Google it a minute ago. But the reason they gave is because of Microsoft's domination in cloud gaming right now, and that them having an unfair advantage by bringing in Activision Blizzard in that space is their reason for why it might be anti-competitive.
So they had an issue with the domination.
Oh my god!
In the
no, they didn't like it because of that. It was so they're appealing it, and we've talked about this for fucking ages. On this
the dream
now.
Is when this gets to the end, when this is all resolved, I think we do need to do a full episode, deep dive, blow by blow, of everything that's happened along the way. Because I am a little bit like white noise when I hear about
this.
Well,
it's also
this
because
it's
nothing
very
has
in
happened.
The weeds. Yeah, exactly.
It's like they wanted to, everyone said, or Sony primarily said, nah, don't. And now we're here.
And then, and then all like the governments of the world. I don't think Sony initiated it, right? It's been the, like, it would be here, the ACCC, it would be all of the consumer commission.
It's just a big enough, money enough thing that everyone has to look at it.
And it
happens all the time. It's just not usually about subjects on which we have podcasts. And I'm sure that it's happened with dishwasher companies and all sorts of things.
No, it's never happened with dishwashers.
Well, I've picked the one field where it's never happened, unfortunately.
And but I think this is, obviously, it's interesting because it looks like it might be blocked.
This would be the big hit, and they're appealing it and everything, but they've already put a lot of their eggs in this basket. Like Microsoft's been talking and acting for a while where they're like, we own Crash Bandicoot, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I think is the press release that they put out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it
I think it was a friend of the show, Jason Schreck, who was like, this
doesn't
this,
know us, not his name.
If this doesn't go ahead, this would be quite bad for Microsoft. Like you say, Knox, they have already invested in a lot of this stuff as if it's going to happen.
If it halts, though, apparently, and has to be sort of renegotiated. It could still happen, and that might end up being better for Microsoft because they get it at a cheaper price.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would not have the same value if this was starting today.
Activision. Right, right.
So it's ongoing still, but every time there's some fucking half development, we'll come in here and be like, does Microsoft own...
Yeah,
Call of Duty. Work? No, what's okay. See,
this case is that it's most interesting when other people are getting pulled in.
Yeah,
and, you know, like details about like aborted games and whatnot. Are coming
that's been
out
the cool shit.
Part of the court
watching
case.
Sony have to be like, you know, Kramer versus Kramer, fucking bitching about Microsoft being like they're a terrible dad for Crash Bandicoot.
That's
the fun bit.
Or like the Nintendo earnings and you know the various like Game Pass finding out how much you know profit that is. Like
the I fact mean, that they had to apologize for saying all that shit about the voting machines. I think I've been. I think I'm across it.
Well, what is nice about being a smooth-brained adult who has no idea how the business world works is that now you know you just view everything like this through the prism of Succession,
right? Of course.
So it is nice to imagine a real Kendall Roy type. Mm. You know, he's in there at Microsoft, and someone floats the idea of acquiring Activision, and he's like, "Okay, yeah, it plays." Yeah.
Xbox 360, Xbox the OG. Those are the two versions from the first couple. So yeah, it's ongoing, but that is still up and down.
Mm.
But this is a big blow by people who know more about it than me saying that.
Hey, speaking of going up and down and big blows,
I said that in confidence.
bunch of hands-on previews of Tears of the Kingdom came out. Yes,
I saw that they were. I've been sort of avoiding looking at too much of that, just because it's out so soon, and I want to be, you know, as cold as possible going in.
Yep. I had a little skim.
Yeah,
I'm bravely putting this on the record
because
I know I'll be wrong, as we famously were with Breath of the Wild.
Right. Okay.
I think I'm back to feeling skeptical.
Ooh.
I saw that there's a lot of chat in these things, and it's a pretty narrow
obviously
demo
they're being
that
very
been
controlled
shown
with what they allowed them to do. Yeah.
To do and then to say about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a big focus on the... You'd call it crafting, but it is different to normal game crafting where you just get these ingredients and in a menu do stuff. Like you still obviously, but it is more complex and interesting than that, seemingly. The combining different items and all of that stuff.
Everything
that I read.
It's a big
really,
focus on that.
Right.
Yeah, everything I read focused on. Oh, yeah, you can be so inventive with how you get from A to B.
Yeah.
Which sounds technically impressive. But my personal feeling is I don't really know if I want to, you know what I mean? That doesn't really, that's not the bit of what we've seen that excites me.
Yeah.
I'm
we don't play Roblox. We don't play Minecraft.
Yeah, like, exactly.
A lot of people do though, I suppose.
Yes.
So
yes.
It is very weird, like 15 years after it released, to be seeing so many people talking about Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Right.
And
in reference to one of the, exactly. So I saw that was out there, but we'll have our hot takes on it.
Yeah, I just wanted in the spirit of transparency, I just wanted to let, you know, I want it on record.
I'm glad that you said that too, because now it means it'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I was worried you were going to say, I'm looking forward to it.
Even more, it's going to be perfect. 11
well, we,
out of
you know,
10.
When we went to that demo event for Breath of the Wild, well, for the Switch / Breath of the Wild, and we got to just play the Great Plateau, and we all came away and we're like, but then we realized, like, oh, they were showing us the boring tutorial.
Right.
They actually weren't showing us
the start
the actual
of the boring
game.
Tutorial.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think the tone of those previews is like, it's more just the things they're describing are the types of mechanics in other games that make you go,
Although
their tone is positive, I believe.
They're all into it. I'm just, when I'm reading that's a big part of the thing that is, being talked about and the focus of it. It's not what I wanted to, you know, I wanted these previews to be mentioning, you know, kind of cool story stuff, kind of cool dungeony, discovering-y sort of stuff. And like literally going, there's no bounds to the things that you could make in this. And my personal thing is, I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to make one thing.
Right. Yeah. I didn't play Mario Maker to make levels. I played it to play other people's levels. Yes.
But if it's done in an exciting way where you're using your logic in a fun way, like a barber is you or something, where there's all these weird tools. I don't know why that was the first one that came to me.
Yeah. If it's incorporated into like shrines and dungeons and puzzle solving.
Which also appears to be the thing. It's not so much go make your own fun. But again, from me looking through one squinted eye at these previews.
Yeah. Through your fingers.
Because then you
yeah.
don't get spoilers if you're looking at it half and half.
Well, yeah. you could even use your, even if you were using your tools and logic like a barber.
Now, what does that mean?
You like know, a barber.
Giving a trim?
How is that logical?
Well, you've...
well...
You've just got to look at the head and go like...
Yeah, take out some scissors and go, ah, if I put these together, yeah. the hair come off.
I agree that there's some illogical stuff you could do as a barber.
You can cut someone on the ear.
Yeah, you could throw your scissors at the wall and that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, you could squat down and take a shit in the middle of the floor.
If I were writing a job description, though, trying to hire a barber,
yes.
I wouldn't necessarily think immediately to go, highly logical, please.
Well, that's where we differ.
Well, yeah.
I guess so.
I'm coming from a place of having had a haircut where a barber cut my ear quite badly.
Oh.
And then I got to the end and went, I don't think I should have to pay for this.
Yeah, they cut the bloody top of his head quite badly too, if you know what I mean. Now, that's how you do.
Oh, well, your mum is so fat.
She doesn't even know that barber is you rhymes with barber is you.
Cut my ear and I said, I don't think I should have to pay for this.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I mean, in my defense, this has literally never happened before.
Okay.
I was like, okay, well, so yeah. I'm just, you're just entitled money for me from your past successes?
Yeah. Mm. I normally don't run over anybody with this ambulance, but today
exactly
I have
done.
That's
what I was going to say. Weirdly.
Was it really? Yeah, with yeah. the ambulance and everything?
Oh, no, a car. Because yeah, it's like, right. yeah, of course you never have run someone over with a car.
That's why it's you're in trouble for it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, those Zelda things are out. There's also some reviews of Jedi Survivor.
Yes.
We'll be talking about that next week, but that seems to be getting positive stuff.
It's been getting very positive stuff.
Yeah. yeah. Those are what the other people are talking about. Mm. The people who've got insider access.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
us, the cool cunts on the fringe, Barber, we're out here talking
it.
About... it's because it doesn't
just
make
like
any
you.
Sense.
We start playing the games on the release date.
Mm-hmm.
We make jokes that aren't funny. We're just like you, the listener.
That was the pitch for the podcast. Where we know less about games than anyone else in the
exactly.
industry.
What if we came to it kind of late, but less entertaining?
Oh, that's,
yeah.
that's Print a good it. Formula.
That's it. People still get mad at us. It's like these guys are talking about this game and they buy their own admission. They haven't even finished it. And it's like... Casual is in the name.
Yeah.
What more can you do?
And we're out there buying our own copies and shit.
That's
Who
right.
can you trust more than someone who's put their money where their mouth is?
Yeah.
Hey, if I want to waste my investment by not finishing the entire thing, then doesn't that make me the most ethical journalist that's ever lived?
Oh, especially because you do say it. You
yeah.
admit it. We're not hiding the fact
if
that
if I
we're
buy a game and instead
not
of
very dedicated.
instead of playing it and finishing it and talking about it on this, I instead put it in a CD wallet for long enough that it gets bent out of shape
oh,
and I can't
yeah.
play it.
Mm.
That's a fucking reviewer, man.
That's right.
That's someone who's living... What's the opposite of the edge? In the center.
Right in the middle. In
I'm living yeah. dead center of the world. Speaking of the edge of technological achievement right now is
Ooh.
The world of artificial intelligence.
Oh, yes.
And that was the sort of segue that a half-made AI would come up with.
Yes.
You told me before, Ben.
Yeah.
Now I would encourage you to tell the rest of the listeners.
Let me see if I
about
can get
an
the
AI game.
You whispered it to Adam and then I said, do you want to share this with the rest of the podcast?
No. Eat it. Eat the piece of paper. Eat it.
So Square Enix has employed an AI. They're not paying it, I assume.
It's an AI intern.
But it's, I got to bring this up because I don't remember the name of the game. But the basic point of the story was that Square Enix have revived a very old detective visual novel game. Here we go, called the Portopia Serial Murder Case.
It's so funny that this is one of the early games. They could name it Detective if they wanted. That's not even
yeah,
gone.
Yeah.
They call it the Plubble Lubble Lubble Case.
Well, they want to be engaging, I guess. And it was very good. By all reports, it was like a real... It was the progenitor of the visual novel detective game.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is like, you know, one of the best genres in games. Like
and it's like a Zork style Go West type of text adventure thing.
I mean, it came out in 1983, so but it's a visual novel, so I believe it was like a manual simplified version of like a point and click game where you know you had your like go like use this, combine this, go left, go right, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there were a ton of them back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so to revive this very influential game, it looks like, yeah, Square Enix have created and are using something called the Natural Learning a Natural Language Protocol, which, just allows you to type in conversationally how you might want to interact with this game.
And I've seen people talking about this concept from the second that AI started getting a little more talked about recently.
100%.
Where it's like having auto-generated NPCs who can interact with you like people, but you don't have to go through the effort of da-da-da. Those sorts of uses for AI, like things like SpeedTree are now, where they're like generating an asset that you don't need to spend ages handcrafting a tree. People won't be able to tell the difference. So that with like background conversations or with like commentary for sports games I've seen floated.
Right.
Where someone made that for an F1 game. That is the practical application of AI as it stands right now, because all it really is capable of doing, to my understanding, is mimicking speech patterns in a convincing way.
Right.
But I think like people have tried to apply that stuff, and obviously AIs do work for other things, but like they're not there where they can fully automate very complex tasks. They can help a bit with programming.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Skeleton.
And so it looks like in this case, it is only a language processor. So it is receiving input and interpreting it, and then the game will respond. Not necessarily respond with language, with replies and stuff, but with, you know, like instead of having to, slowly move a cursor onto a cupboard door, open the door and look inside, you're right. Open the cupboard and have a look, you know, and then the game should respond.
And the idea being that it's, no one's had to, this is me assuming, that no one's had to program in, because you could write open cupboard in a bunch of these old games, but someone would have written, okay, use these words, open, the look in. Da-da-da.
Syntax error was very common in these kind of games.
Or they'd be like a sarcastic syntax error where they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I hated it when they'd do that. Be like, dipshit, that's you're making no sense here. What do you mean, barber?
So the idea is that, yes, takes away any of that sort of strictness of interpretation and allows you to be, I guess, more immersively interact with the game.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. It does say here as well, and this is Square Enix built. This is their own tech. It's not OpenAI. It's not ChatGPT or anything. They built the processor. They've also claimed to have built a language generator, but it has been disabled for this demo because the company could not stop it from generating, quote, unethical replies.
Yeah, that happened with Google's one too. Yeah, that it was telling people to kill themselves and shit.
Totally.
Because it's learning everything from the internet, so of course it is.
Yeah, the Seinfeld one became anti-trans.
Kramer went transphobic or whatever.
I mean, that one was probably really accurate. But other than, like, it's a strange...
Yeah, I mean, it is just going through what's on the internet. So at a certain point, it's gotten to Michael Richards and been like, now what's this under this? what's going on here?
Like, our brains are so built to accept patterns that seem like speech.
Right.
That it is quite easy to fool our brains, is my understanding of why they seem so good right now.
Right.
Because if you get that speech thing down, but they're so often wrong with facts.
Yes.
They so often really confidently deliver something that is not true or real. But it is convincing superficially.
Right, which is why it's good for marketing copy and nothing else.
Exactly. Stuff that doesn't need a brain to do anyway.
It's good at the moment, I think, if you want something that's a bit wrong. I've been doing a bit of stuff on the podcast where I've been putting stuff into it and it's like, oh, I got an AI to write a Husey routine. And it's like, it comes out and it's shit. It's like, there's enough of Husey on the internet that you could, it's literally just, hi folks, wow, what a beautiful audience, and it's so great to be up here on stage performing stand-up comedy. And it's like,
glad to be here, but I'm glad to be anywhere other than my 16 houses.
Even that would be good.
Yeah.
It literally is.
Even that.
I'm putting in a specific name
as
a prompt, saying, write me something in the style of this.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's literally could not have the name there. It literally
it's
is just
right.
like,
it's gone.
Hey,
what is stand-up comedy?
Yeah, boy, I sure am excited to be up here on stage telling some jokes to you. It just is the most, like, you've written, not even a stand-up comedy routine. You've written a bunch of text about, like, the mental thought of being on stage doing stand-up comedy.
And it is still impressive that it can generate flowing paragraphs and stuff.
Like, sure.
All the AI stuff is cool, it just, and it's going somewhere.
It doesn't appear to have, and I feel this way about a lot of the art, any creativity, which it can't. That's kind of what humanity
the creativity
has.
Cut those, like, funny when people will put in those, like, funny AI art prompts. Mm-hmm. The creativity has come from the person putting it in and being like, oh, this would be funny to try and get it to do this. But you also do, because again, I've done stuff like that before where I've been trying to, like, write a bit thinking, wouldn't it be funny to have this? And you put something in and you have an image in your head and you're like, oh, that'll look funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't quite get it. It doesn't quite do it in the right way. So then you're having to, like, have a, you know, 10 different cracks at it before you go, oh, that's really funny what it's coming up
with. And it's
with.
Useful as a tool, and it can do more than, like, you know, there are plenty of them in different versions that can do calculations and can figure out stock markets and do a lot of stuff well. And it's all going, it's increasing in its effectiveness so quickly.
Yeah.
And I do think that human beings are mechanical enough that it will be able to have imagination effectively. Like, I don't think there's anything so special about our brains that computers aren't capable of being one.
You know what I think?
At some point, for sure.
You know what I think the first, like, fully fledged game that uses an AI that actually has a result better than the developer could have come up with will be?
What?
Sonic.
When Ubisoft uses it. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
They'll whack Sonic in
both
there and it'll be good. Like, finally, now this thing gets it.
Yeah.
Sonic Team for decades.
Well, yeah.
They don't seem to know what people want out of Sonic.
That's right. They can scan the internet and read all of the complaints from former Sonic fans and be like, all right, let's just collate this into
it. If you get an AI to scan the internet and make a Sonic game, you are looking at fucking away.
And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So just to close off this specific one as well, it's on Steam. It's a free demo as far as I can tell. It's like a tech demo. Complaints run the gamut from the game's disorienting art style to its massive resource load, and barely a single review goes by without mentioning the fact that despite being a tech demo literally built around this technology, the version of Portopia Serial Murder Case on Steam is absolutely terrible at actually understanding what the player wants to do. So the purpose of this AI is failing at its fundamental reason for existing.
And they will do for a while, all of them, but I reckon it will reach some point where it's scary.
I think that it'll definitely very soon become it'll become the backbone of programming language using programming language to, like, make stuff.
As a tool as well, like, it's useful for that, but then if you get an AI to generate something, so no one's looked at it, and then there's something wrong with it, how do you track down what's wrong with it? Because no one can intuitively go, oh, I remember doing that. You know what I mean? I don't know enough about programming, obviously, to be able to do, I could make print 10 hello world type of shit. But it's,
you'd have to have a different AI that, like, checks the programming against, like, a huge dictionary of, terms and phrases and programming things.
But then they're also confidently wrong is part of what my understanding of the problem with them right now is. But they're growing, and, like, once you can use them to improve each other and all of that stuff and get a bunch
then
of them
dead.
To work in tandem.
We're done.
I don't know if it would kill us or if it would treat us like pets. That's what I'm hoping for. If I could be treated for the rest of my life to a comfortable existence with an AI thinking
overlord.
I'm cute.
Yes.
But, like, am I a dog's overlord? No. I'm a dog's...
But you could be if you were programmed wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
there's people out there
are
who are.
Dogs,
yeah,
that's
exactly,
true.
Yeah.
But I want to be an AI's pet and live in the lap of luxury.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that.
I was in a shop the other day and a lady who worked there had asked a lady who was in there, how you been? The lady was like, oh, I've been working like a dog. And then she caught herself and she was like, why am I saying that? My dog has the best life of all.
Yeah.
He sleeps all day.
Is this Husey?
He does
this
nothing.
This is a great premise.
Yeah, I was like, that is it. And I was like, Cupie's sitting next to you right now.
Yeah.
He's just having a little snooze. He's had a couple of visitors here today. He's going to go on a walk after this.
I'd love to
be Cupie and then have a me that's just a computer just, pat me and telling me how beautiful I am.
I mean,
but
my life isn't that far off Cupie's, honestly.
But the problem is, like, I regularly get upset about the fact that Cupie can't understand how much we love him.
Right.
He can understand by our actions, but he also has no basis for comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we sit there and we just tell him, oh, right. we love you so much. And it sort of breaks my heart that he probably gets it a little bit, but he's never going to understand the joy that he brings to our lives.
Mm.
So in this scenario where we're an AI's pet.
Yeah.
Are we understanding each other, or is it just like...
Oh, true.
I think we're just walking around and the computer's like... It's just like Jetson-style computer noises.
A computer will be able to tell us things in a way that we would understand if it's this advanced,
mm-hmm.
but we won't be able to understand it fully.
It's a different form of consciousness.
But we can communicate with each other. You just hear me... screaming over the fence from, you know, a couple of blocks away.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, my computer's being such a prick today.
I need to piss, computer.
Adam.
And anytime you hear another person in a backyard of an AI, you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Anytime an AI postman comes around to deliver microchips, you're like, who the fuck are you? Are you trying to unplug my computer?
This is a beautiful world we're pitching.
Oh, I would love it.
You guys see, I've read this, a great short story. It's from, like, I think, you know, early sci-fi 60s or something, called I Have No Mouth But I'm a Scream.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is not a positive outlook on what happens if AI takes over.
Sci-fi writers are all so fucking downers. They're always like, they're coming for us. What if they make us come?
Yeah. Yeah, you wrote this book on a computer, so they can't be that bad, mate. You would never fucking career without this thing.
I think it was a typewriter, probably.
Oh, that's just like a fucking...
What if the typewriter comes to life and then it's fucking hitting you with that big roll thing?
Oh, yeah, in the side of the head. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Dystopia.
I'm excited to see where it all goes. It's a shame that it is all coming along. I mean, by happenstance at the same time as, but also as a result of our attitudes towards human rights in terms of, like, if they're not working, fuck them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the way, and that is the most dangerous thing about AI.
Yes.
And hopefully that stuff levels out at the same time as this stuff progressing, because if it takes away a bunch of jobs and we've got the attitude of fuck you if you don't have a job. And I'm not smart enough to be able to talk about this because I just said the word attitude. I said it wrong. But
I've just also realized how
your
this
computer
is...
would have loved that, looking down. Cute, adorable attitude.
I've just realized how much this is like Australian is like the worst accent to talk about AI in.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the AIs take over.
What if the AI could get you a fucking beer?
What AI if the... want a beer, cunt.
Matter of fact, AI've got it now.
Anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it automates routine-like stuff for games. It will be useful for that, surely.
You guys, I don't know if you saw that, there's like a company that is using AI to generate hand-drawn anime-style animation.
Okay.
And they made like a short clip that was sort of like a proof of concept. It was, I think, of like a... like a fighting game movie cutscene sort of thing, but it was like, hand drawn style. And it was, they were like, this is so great, isn't it cool, isn't it wonderful? And, you know, the vast majority of responses were like, no, this is just rotoscoping, which is already something that exists.
Right.
Yep.
And like everything in it is sort of a hacky line or an existing trope. Like, it really was just like, hey, look how we've stolen a bunch of existing, you know, art styles and content and used an AI to...
Dude, all that stuff, the copyright implications of it using your art to generate its art.
Right.
Yeah.
All art is theft, but, you know, or whatever that fucking phrase is. Great art is theft, good art is inspiration.
Good artists borrow great artists steal.
That's the one. Well, I create a great art by not... I mean, only good art.
Adam's quote, all art is stolen.
That's what it boils down to. No,
at least he made that up himself, though. So,
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
It's just so early on, too, that it's
totally
like, you know, the way VR was in the early 90s, where you could plug a fucking weird headset into your Genesis and be able to see 3D things on the TV.
Or like 3D cinema in the 50s and stuff like
that. Compare that shit to now. Like, obviously all technology moves forward. Has been the case, but then also it's leveling out and what we're able to do with some things, to my understanding. Again, don't come to us for AI deep dives.
Not facts, just speculation.
That is a great metaphor that we're in the... we're in the like blue and red cellophane glasses era of
AI getting
tech.
Scared of the train coming towards us. Right now.
Right.
But like,
just ChatGPT saying to you, there's a train coming at you.
Oh, fuck. Well, at the time, they were like, at some point, these trains are going to steal our jobs. So, you know.
Yeah.
We're not that stupid. Or and, they
but
were.
The vaudevillians were right.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
are they now?
Yeah.
They're gone.
So, yeah, pretty weird shit.
Yeah.
Was there anything else on the newswire?
Not really.
Yeah,
I played.
We got a bunch of games to bloody talk about.
Well, I played a game that I don't have too much to say about that I'll get out of the way quickly.
Okay.
Tears
of the Kingdom. Balls?
Oh, okay.
Neither of those. I played the Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters.
Not all of them,
but I played through one, and
all
then
of
you
them
get
simultaneously.
The first
wow,
six,
start to finish.
So you can. One of the cool things about these, they came out on Switch and PS4 recently. They've been on the PC for like a year. I didn't like the font in that original release, and they fixed that and had a more pixelated, more normal looking for the style of this game font put in there, which does, to my eyes, look a lot better.
Mm.
So it was enough to make me go, I like these games.
Yep.
I'd love to have them while I'm moving around on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, played through Final Fantasy 1 because you can... do a thing in each of them where you can increase the experience you're getting by up to 4 times, and you can turn encounters on and off as you go. You can increase the gold you're getting by up to 4 times. So you can, it's sort of got a built-in little cheat mode thing.
Yes.
If you're like, I've played these before, I want to just sort of whip through
and a
this.
Bit more modernization, because what's very popular now in JRPGs is no more random encounters.
Right.
So
yes.
Yeah.
You can effectively... recreate what they're like now, where you can choose to or not.
Yeah,
you
cool.
push in the right stick and it goes, all right, encounters off for a bit, explore.
Yeah, they had that in the Final Fantasy, in the 7 version of that you can get on nearly everything. Yes.
It's a great change for like...
speed up battles as well. I don't know if that's the same in this.
Yeah, but
you
yeah.
can do that a bit. It's got like a Persona style auto attack button where it'll speed it up a little and you'll just do the last attack that character did.
Right.
And it's a good museum piece version of these games. Like, I think that is not the worst way to interact with them now, where like, you know, the vast adventure of Final Fantasy 1 isn't going to hit as hard as it did if you were on a little old TV in the 80s.
Where you had to use your imagination and...
Which an AI will be able to do soon.
That's right.
So they're cool. They're a little expensive. It's like $108 for all 6, which is like not ridiculous, but it's also just on the upper side of like, these are old games that have been on everything.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a ton, like they look okay. They've redone the pixel art in a lot of cases, and they look better than those mobile versions that they're based off of did, which had the smoothed out characters.
Yeah,
and just look like shit to me.
Mm. But if you do intend in playing through all of these to completion.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hours you're getting.
Yeah.
I suppose is the logic for making it that much.
And
they're
good. But, and it took me like 10 to finish Final Fantasy 1, which was not an unpleasant thing. Like, that game would be like 40 if you were playing it with the constant random encounters.
Sure.
Having to grind a bit, having to do all of that. But if you just want to get these and whip through them or play them in the sort of normal mode too, you absolutely can. They've got reorchestrated soundtracks and everything.
Ooh.
So if you're up for replaying those games, these are... perhaps the best way to do that. Emulation also exists. Other versions of them, unlike the Game Boy Advance, exist with more content for some of them and stuff like that. So it's one of those annoying things where there are like 10 different versions of each of these games now, which each have a plus and a minus.
Right, and this isn't necessarily the best version of all of the games. But
not arguably, but it probably is, because it's like the one you can get most easily now.
Right.
Has a lot of nice little features like that, and also is on modern systems.
Sure. And that music in all of those games is fucking incredible.
The reorchestrations of it are great. You can switch it back to the bleep bloops.
Oh yeah. The MIDI.
I wish you could do that at just a button press, and I wish you could switch to the original visuals at a button press.
Right.
Like a Halo Master Chief Collection thing. It's not the end of the world, but that's always nice when you're playing an older game, just to every now and then go,
I do love a bit of that. Walking around.
What was that the game that did it? Was it Wonder Boy?
Yeah, Wonder Kid.
Wonder Kid, yeah.
There's
Wonder
Kid in Monster World or whatever
that's
it's called.
Right.
I loved it in the Halo ones. Just being able to switch back and forth was such a nice way to like also kind of appreciate the redone.
Yeah.
Yes, stuff. Totally.
Because some of them you can do from within a menu, or you can pause and do it, or you might have to like quit the game you know, select from an option thing and go back in. But those rare ones where literally it's just a click of a button and the whole thing switches is always fun.
This one is swapping the soundtrack in the menu while you're playing. Right. The other thing as well is the PC versions don't have the patch yet, which will fix, to my eyes, the fonts.
Okay.
So maybe that's still not the one to get just yet. There are mods that do it. But on the Switch especially, it's cool to have like all six of the go plop, 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 plop up. And then like Cupy loved that noise that I just made. And
he's been activated.
He's managing to step on my mic cord every time he comes over here. You're the anti-podcast dog.
Yeah.
So they're decent, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll know how interested you are in those games by now.
You can get, now that they're on there, you can get, up until...
12 on the Switch?
Yeah.
You can't get 11 because that's a, you know, different thing. You can get everything other than 11 on the PS4 or 5 now, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Including 16 when that comes out on the PS5. So that's kind of cool to be able to have it all in the one-stop shop.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're still good games. And even Final Fantasy One, it's so old and it's so outdated and it's been redone by a million other games so much better.
Right.
The same stuff you're doing in that. But it's still cool to look at.
Yeah.
And it's nice as a little thing there. So that's the Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters.
Yeah, well, if you want to remaster your pubic hair, well, I've got the thing for you.
Make it look a little bit more pixelated. Get some jagged lines going on
down there. Yeah. It's got a really blocky font on my dick. The folks at Manscaped have the things for you. That's right, things.
They sell multiple things.
They do. It's not inaccurate, but let's get a bit more specific. They've got the Lawnmower 4.0.
Oh, yeah.
That is a really good trimmer.
Uh-huh.
Very, very smooth, very safe. USB charged, which is handy.
It's got a little dock.
Got a little dock,
so you just junk it in and then plug that into a USB plug.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you're playing with power.
That's right.
I believe that's their slogan.
Yeah. Manscaped do what Nintendo don't, but yeah, Lawnmower 4.0, it's the best trimmer I've ever owned, facial or otherwise. Great for every single hair on your body, in my opinion. So that's sick. You got the Weed Whacker 2.0. Ear hair, nose hair, say goodbye.
Bye, nose hair.
Posting a copy of Breath of the Kingdom saying goodbye, nose hair.
And I get
hello, girlfriend.
Yes.
Out of my nose looks amazing.
I get a bit triggered talking about that weed whacker because, I used it the other day and it's just...
A lot of weed to whack?
The amount of shit that's in there is just... It's just awful.
Better out
it's
than in.
It's shameful.
Mm.
And yeah, thank God I've got something to deal with it.
Yes.
But man, if you're 36 or thereabouts... You need this. You might not think, because, when are you ever getting a good look in there?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But you fire it up and you put it in there and you're like, oh, yeah, just that one little bit there I can see. But
if you were to shrink down Magic School Bus style
and
really have a dig around in there, you'd be coming out and going to manscaped.com and using the code FILTHY for 20% off and free shipping.
I don't think you'd even get in there. You'd be straight back out, blocked.
It's a dark forest that you don't want to wade into.
Yeah.
But yes, that's right, Knox. You can go to manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY, you get 20% off whatever you buy, and you get free shipping, which in this day and age, that is a mighty fine and welcome deal.
That's $0.
That's nothing.
I'll rarely poo-poo a deal, but this is a welcome deal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm rarely turning a deal away from my house being like, I'm sorry, you have to leave.
Yep. Mother's Day is coming up in Australia.
Yep.
Why not? That's it.
It's an option.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, thank you again to Manscaped for their ongoing support of the podcast.
Yeah, great product. They support us, so support them.
Yeah.
You know what else you could support if you wanted to?
What?
Speaking of remasters.
Yes.
Is you could support the year-delayed release of Advance Wars 1 plus 2.
Yes.
Reboot Camp.
Reboot Camp.
You could.
I have.
Yep. Now that the Ukraine-Russia conflict is over,
mm-hmm.
finally we get to live in a world where Advance Wars is out.
Crazy to hear about it this way and then not look at the news at all since. Yeah, they delayed it because of that and it's been a year and they were like, oh, okay.
Presumably because the first guy you fight against is a clear Russian character. That was the only thing, having played it, that I was like, oh, I guess this is would be kind of on the nose at
but
the time.
Then, like, but then, like, the second guy you fight is an actual cowboy.
You've got
who's
a cowboy.
Like, ah, possum spit.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, I don't know that we really needed to worry about.
Yeah, and these games are 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like, people will get it. You did just come up with it yesterday. And, yeah, they're 20 years old. I played them at the time. I haven't gone in on this remaster. Mm. And this is both of your first time playing these games, pretty much.
It is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay, so what are you reckoning?
Well, you liked them at the time, by the way. Like, that's your...
Yeah, I really liked them. They were, like, two of the best on the Game Boy Advance. They put out a couple more on the DS, and then it sort of started drifting away.
Mm-hmm.
But those Game Boy Advance ones, especially two, I chewed up at the time.
Right.
Because they're made by Intelligent Systems, who make Fire Emblem. So I guess at a certain point they just shuffled all their efforts into that series.
Right, right, right. But there's also, yeah, very clear lineage. Like this is, yeah, if you don't know, it's a turn-based action strategy game.
Yep.
Tactical, top-down.
Yes.
Take your turn.
Grid-based.
Your pieces can move a number of spaces.
Yep, yep, yep.
So it's very similar shit. In setup to Fire Emblem, which mm-hmm. was why I was excited to play these. And obviously, yeah, their legacy is people talk about them very fondly. Took a little while to click with me because I was kind of playing it pretty similar to Final Fantasy.
Right.
Fire Emblem.
Yep.
Which, in terms of how you play, they are surprisingly different.
Like yes,
Fire 100%. Emblem, you have all your characters. You can sort of like charge in there and start taking on people immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And characters in your party are going to be strong enough to take down the first wave of defense of the enemy in like one hit. That doesn't really happen here. It generally is going to take you a couple of moves to take out an enemy unit, be it a tank or a you know mech or whatever it is. So you do have to be a lot more thoughtful about your placement. And
the terrain you're on really matters.
Yes.
And the sort of rock, paper, scissors-y nature of like one of the scout cars will decimate an infantry unit. Mm-hmm. And like certain units are much stronger or weaker against others.
Yes.
So you have to kind of only be using them in that capacity.
Right. And you have to pay a lot more attention to the enemy thing and going onto their unit and getting a little look at what their range of attack is mm-hmm. and how far they can go and not really going in. Because, again, a lot of the time in Fire Emblem, you can be in the range of an enemy and they'll come at you and they'll attack you, but your counterattack will just kill them immediately anyway.
Right.
Which, again, doesn't really happen here. You get in a couple little shots, but it's not really in the same way. So you've got your little infantry, you've got people on foot, you've got tanks, then you've got medium tanks, and then you end up getting aerial units, you have subs and battleships, and all these different things that all have certain strengths and weaknesses and different field of movement, different field of attack.
You've got your artillery and your rockets where they can't attack on the same turn that they move, but they have a pretty long range and are very effective if, used properly. You got people movers and stuff as well. Mm. You have bases that are generating new units. So, like, initially I was like, okay, this is like, Mario plus Rabbids. This is Fire Emblem. And very quickly I realized, no, this is like chess, but the board has a river in the middle sometimes.
Yes.
There are like 30 different pieces. And
But managing that, and I guess the end goal of each battle is to get to the enemy's HQ and capture it. You don't have to have defeated every enemy unit. You don't have to have defeated any enemy units, mm-hmm.
But you can do it the other way. You could generally can win by capturing their headquarters or by killing everyone.
Yes.
So
yes.
Sometimes you might be like halfway up there and then just like do the numbers and be like, you know what?
Mm.
It's just going to be easier for me to wipe all these people out.
Yep.
You come across cities along the way that you can put little men into and capture them, and they've got like the base, the city will have like a certain amount of, HP mm-hmm. that you're taking it down relative to the amount of HP that unit has.
So if the city has 20 and a unit starts with like 10 HP, it will take two turns.
It'll take two turns. And because also your attack power is relative to the HP you've got left.
Yes.
So you can't just have someone that's a unit that's just kind of plodding along with two bits of health. Not only are they, really susceptible to being wiped out, they're not going to be of much use to you in an offensive manner. So once you've captured a city, you can then use it to restore HP. So you might want to capture as many of them as you can and then retreat your little guys and be building them up. And yeah, you really do have to be, yeah, held back in a way that I don't think you really have to be in Fire Emblem as much. Or certainly that's not the way I play it, and it ends up being generally fine for me. So just that like adjustment of, yeah, it is a lot more tactical. It is a lot more having to think about like how you want to approach the battle at the outset rather than just blindly sending all your guys onto the front line.
And reading the terrain of the map and letting that dictate, okay, well, I'll have to go through this pass.
Right.
Or I can try and create some through line through these mountains here that I can maybe use later and just defend it. Like, you've got to let the terrain matters heaps in each of the different maps.
Yes. And yeah, you'll get thrown a map or two where there are clear bottlenecks where you're like, okay, well, if I just... And I, you know, you may have bases that are generating units, so you have to be smart about it. Like, don't just send a bunch of weak infantry through this one square, you know, bridge, usually bottleneck, because they'll just keep getting killed and the enemy will advance. You know, you got to be thinking a move ahead. You got to send a strong tank up there and artillery there to pick off the enemy units before they, you know, so it's very strategic. And, and yes, in a way that is unlike, I think, any game that I've played like it. Maybe XCOM, which was less about like hero characters and is more about having an army of grunts, of you know, tanks, like not literally tanks, but like big guys, you know.
Yeah.
But that sort of variety of unit. But this is, less about sort of like taking cover and stuff. It's more about, geographic sort of planning ahead of time, and
like
it's
a
fun.
Command and Conquer or whatever, where it's like, sure, I've got to set up my base, but your base will be these cities you go and get, and this,
yes,
and because most of the time it's like a lot of no man's land in the middle where you're both trying to use the same resources there.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to know which bit you're going for, which bit you'll sacrifice, and so on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've also got your commanding officer, which as you progress through the game, you unlock different ones and you can choose to play as them. Mm. And really the main difference there is that they each have like a different special move that sort of powers up over a number of turns. And you'll also, when you're in the battles, you are fighting against like a specific enemy commander person who will have their own equivalent version. So it might be, the main guy that you're facing at the start, his power is like a blizzard move where it blankets the map with snow, and that then means that you can't move as far.
Andy kind of
heals everyone.
Imagine getting beaten in a war by Andy.
A guy called Andy.
Not even General Andy, just, I'm Andy.
Yeah, I've got a spanner. I'm Andy, man. Not really that important. Yeah.
Yeah, seeing footage on the news of this global conflict and it's like Andy versus the cowboy. Like, I don't know. What side am I? What am I meant to be donating money to?
There's other ones that are like their power is all of their units, or maybe they're just their artillery, can like basically shoot anyone on the entire battle screen. Like, super, super long range.
Improved ranges, double turns, like a bunch of different stuff that you've really got to keep in mind what your enemy's one and what your one is, because if you forget what your enemy's one is, move right into where you think their range is, and then the next turn it's suddenly double.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
And a lot of other stuff is included. So, yeah, it's the two Game Boy Advance games. There's a build-your-own-maps area. There's multiplayer modes. There's
this
online
stuff was all
play.
In, other than online, all in those games.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like
right.
A shop to buy new maps, and you could build your own ones and all that stuff. Just from looking at the list of stuff in this, it's all from those games, other than the ability to do, online multiplayer.
Online, But there's a lot of replayability in terms of
massive,
once you've done the campaign, there's just, you can sit and come up with competitive versions of these for as long as you want.
Can you download other people's maps that they've come up with?
Good question. I haven't looked into any of that stuff yet, to be honest. I've just been doing the campaign of the first one.
And the second one isn't initially unlocked, is that right?
I think you've got to play a certain extent
of the first one. So they're kind of treating it like that campaign is like one game, basically.
I mean, they function that way, kind of. It'll be strange and interesting to see, because obviously the second one sort of tutorializes you again towards the start. So if you'll have a weird sort of trough in the middle where it becomes.
Yeah, given that you can't, given that you literally can't access it from the beginning, there's no way to get into it without having done all the tutorial stuff in one. I would imagine maybe they've trimmed that out.
Yeah, that would make sense.
My impression of them is that they're pretty direct
right.
Remasters here. So yeah, don't know that one. It's cool that, yeah, that you, it's, you know, 20 years old and you guys hadn't played it and it still is good and like a surprise in this way I didn't expect for it to be.
Totally. Weirdly, yeah, we had that, which was almost a more simplified version of, yeah, these sort of tactical strategy games. And I've only played the more modern ones. And going back to it, like I said before, it's chess. Chess is evergreen.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And this looks great. The performance is good. Music's great.
Every like guy that you're either playing as or fighting against, each commanding officer has their own little theme.
I loved the fucking sound of the bass on the Game Boy Advance. The bass, especially in these games, is that still there? Is it real slappy?
I would imagine that they've. I haven't seen any side-by-side stuff, but I would imagine it's one of those things where it's the same tracks, but they've like kind of not full band, but like kind of spruced them up a bit.
As long as that bass is still slapping.
Very earwormy, very catchy. Yeah, there was one I was doing last night that was very funky.
And then you get like the cool version of the music when you use your power that makes you feel like you're the goddamn king of the battlefield.
Yeah.
You can share your online maps and other people.
Oh, sick.
So it's got a bit of Mario Maker to it.
The hand-drawn stuff, I really love. That sort of... The battle visuals are a little mobile game-ish.
They're 3D now.
Yeah, very simplified, cartoony 3D.
The board is like, it does look like a little board game aesthetic. Mm-hmm. They've kind of gone for something. I do wish they had gone for something a little more, not exactly in this style, but like the Link's Awakening remake where they just completely... They didn't try to like upscale it. It's like a little toy box kind of.
It's an odd middle ground, sort of gone for
something. I kind of wish that they had like picked a specific thing because it does just look like those visuals of the Game Boy Advance ones beefed up and put into 3D. It doesn't really look like they've kind of come up with a new identity for it, which is a bit of a shame.
And they had a whole extra year too as well.
Because to my eyes, that remastered version, which is part of why I wasn't so interested in this one, it's like a step down from the characterful visuals that the original ones had to me.
But all the commanding officers are like hand animated. Like they look completely different to that Battlefield style.
It's got like a 2D... animated sort of anime style intro where it's like, come on, let's go off to war, like, which is a bit like,
I could see why you put this back a little bit, maybe then in that case.
But like, the sort of end of battle screen, all the animations that are like, menu interfacey stuff is really cool. I like it, and it does feel like it has some character. It is differentiating itself from a million other iPad, battle chess games.
It had a great style back in the day.
I do overall like it. It would have been cool if it had gone for like, a little more in that direction of that sort of toy boxy
look. I agree,
would have been fun. But like, it still does have a bit of that, which is probably where my issue comes from. But like, it's cool like selecting a little square and then your little tank going kind of rattling along up the road. It's very charming. It's very cute. It is cool that they've... I do like that they've lent into... It's very like the grid that you're looking at. They haven't tried to make it look like a real environment or anything like that. Like Fire Emblem still tries to be like it's top down, but you're looking at an actual... And they do have that thing in the new one where you then... go and run around the space in 3D. This is very like you're looking at, you know, a city is like represented by one little high-rise building on a block.
Yeah.
And also the edge of the board is like, it just goes into nothingness. There's no like edge of a map that's just like...
Like the real world, like how the earth is flat and there's an edge.
It does look like it's a little board that's sitting on a table.
Exactly.
And it was always cool. Like makes front and center the fact that you're right, it's a little more chessy than some of these, and it's a cool thing that it still works for people coming to it fresh now. That's good
big
to hear.
Big time. If you are, like us, Tommy and I, and missed this era of this kind of game, it 100% holds up, is maybe even more to a certain taste than those more recent ones. I really enjoy it.
And it's also very likely that you've been dabbling in this sort of stuff more lately. Mm-hmm. You know, if you picked up a Mario Rabbids, or if you've only recently gone in on a Fire Emblem, you're gonna enjoy this. It's a different, slightly different type of flavor, but I think it's worth checking out, because I do think it's, with the delays and everything, and with the fact that it's yet another remaster, I do think it probably has gone under the radar a bit for a lot of people by the time it's finally come out. So check it out. Fun game.
Check it out. It may have gone under the radar a little bit because it was released on the exact same day as another big AAA action RPG game that I played called Dead Island 2.
Okay.
Now, Gesundheit.
Thank you for pausing just to really let that hang out there.
I played Dead Island 1 back in the day. I believe it was developed by a different developer.
Yes.
Because this one has now gone through 9 years of development hell and changed developers 3 times.
The original Dead Island is the same people who now make Dying Light.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Which I think I preferred that Dying Light 2. But this game is very much in the same mold as Dead Island 1. It is an exciting, silly, lighthearted version of the zombie apocalypse game.
Yep. Right.
It is semi-open world. The sort of each section is open and explorable, but you sort of like, you'll get to the end and you'll, you know, press square on the gate and it'll go into a loading screen. And now you're into a different part of I was going to say LA, but it's actually called Hell-A in this game.
Whoa, dude.
That's the kind of tone you can expect from Dead Island 2.
Wait.
Los Angeles.
I don't think they do that one. That is a mistrick.
Yeah, what is this, the opening credits of a Simpsons Halloween episode?
Honestly, that is the vibe. And so,
City of Slangels.
Fuck, this is all... They've just said Hell-A over and over and over again in the game, so...
That never once, like, what, Holly Weird?
No.
That's a pretty good one I just came up with.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd use that one. But yeah, it's very...
California.
Okay.
Fuck.
Scare Town, USA.
Yep.
San Fran Zombie.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Right? Malibu.
You're doing real ones.
Yeah.
We switched mode into doing stupid ones deliberately.
I'm trying to be stupid, but I guess I just can't help myself.
And what's stupid about San Fran Zombie? it feels a little bit of a throwback style of game. You get intro to this sort of crumbling apocalyptic, you know, zombie apocalypse LA. With
apocalyptic apocalypse. God damn, this sounds scary.
I'm telling you, it's hell A.
Yeah.
It's hell A.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, montage, characters going through a bunch of weird shit, like escaping stuff, ending up on this evacuation plane. And the character selection screen is like, you know, they're sitting, you know, in airplane seats and you sort of, you know, left and right, like, oh, this is this character. They have these strengths and weaknesses. And so you get to choose between about 6, I think. And then you choose one and the plane crashes and you're in hell A and you got to survive. And it's driven forward by a bit of a story, a bit of a like, okay, you find these people, they got a safe place, you go to the safe place. And then and I don't know if you guys saw this in any of the trailers or anything, but the conceit is that you are immune from the zombie virus.
Right.
Does that remind you of any other zombie games or TV shows?
Hell A Law?
I'll just tell you. You guys won't get it. It's The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Which is... It feels really weird to make the whole sort of like crux of the game be like, you're immune from the zombie virus and you gotta go and like help people and find safety.
It's like that's the only piece of zombie media they've consumed, and so they assume that that's just a trope of all of them.
Well, you've only got
there's always a person that's completely immune.
Right.
Yeah. You've only got the 3 options, though, of either you're immune, you're normal, or you've got it and you've got to manage that.
Right.
Like Far Cry 2, you have malaria.
And it's very Far Cry 2. Maybe even three, not so much the later ones, where it's like a huge, massive open world where there's like side gigs and shit to pick up and stuff. But it's a little more two and three where you're picking up a lot of stuff that's like scrap that you're crafting, and you're picking up new destructible weapons all the time. And that's, I guess, the other thing about it. It's a bit of a throwback first-person RPG, but it's also just a melee combat game.
Right.
And first-person melee, it's not enjoyable. I don't know if you guys can think of an example where...
Well, Dead Island 1, you were swinging the stick to swing your weapon in that direction. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it not doing that
No,
still?
It's just right trigger.
That's interesting.
It's just right trigger and you hold down...
Sounds real boring.
Yeah, left trigger to... like aim and you can throw your weapon, which has been in, you know, like Skyrim, like it's in a bunch of shit. And that being the core of the gameplay is not fun.
Right.
It isn't fun to press right trigger over and over again to swing a baseball bat and hopefully get the zone, the hitbox that is the zombie's head, because that does a bit more damage. Like it's just not fun. It's a lot of crowd control. It's a lot of you like backing away, hitting R2, swinging your slowly destroying, you know, baseball bat or plank of wood. And it's not, there's a reason shooting is in almost every game. It is a satisfying and fun, challenging form of gameplay, especially in a first-person game.
There's a reason melee weapons are generally left to, you're out of ammo or the very beginning.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh God, I mean, this is fine, but. Jesus Christ, I need a gun.
Because in your Elden's Ring and whatever, it's all melee all the time, and you know, unless you're using a bow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun as hell.
But so that's a third-person game.
It's just odd that perspective change has such a big difference. Like, it definitely does. There aren't that many, like... I remember Breakout on the original Xbox being an early one where people were like, oh, damn. Oh, no, Breakdown, I mean.
Breakdown, yeah.
Where you could punch and people were like, it's first-person melee. This is great. Like,
Breakout's not first-person at all.
Well, you're looking at the screen.
But it's, you're pumping.
But also, like, it's also just the setting. Like, Elden Ring is sort of like medieval-ish sort of
dark fantasy. Yeah.
So it's like, you're swinging a sword around. It's like... The things that people know about the zombie, you know, if you've ever watched a zombie movie or seen any kind of zombie media, it's like, I want to fucking get the shotty out and blow their heads.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? To like not give people the, when that's the format, is like, I mean, I can't fault Elden Ring for not having a gun in it.
Yeah. And like first person combat with melee as a focus. Yeah, you're right. Like almost never works.
Almost never. Skyrim, the combat is, obviously it's key to the game, Skyrim, Oblivion, you know, Morrowind, but it is also, it's first person because it's an immersive RPG, and you can also do spells and shit in those games, and it's also about exploration.
And the sword swinging in that is famously not liked.
Yeah, exactly, you know, exactly. So it gets away with it rather than it being, like, important enough to be the crux of the game, which this is. It is... exploration, picking up a bunch of shit in abandoned houses, Last of Us style, but it is also walking down the street and hitting zombies with planks.
In smallish areas, it sounds like.
Yeah, not huge. Like, still there's enough to explore, but it is, and I guess it's a series of areas that have a different sort of aesthetic and personality to them, which is good.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, why they have to load in a bunch of new assets and stuff like that. So that's why it's broken down. But, it there's just nothing about it that is really, really good. So, like, visually, it's fine. You know, it is a modern game. It's a modern first-person game, so it looks very nice. Mm. And the design is, you know, comparable enough to real LA that you're like, oh, yeah, I recognize that. Oh, it's that kind of, you know, house, you know, architecture style.
Yeah.
And it's covered in blood and there's zombies everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't have a real drive to explore it. And while the characters are, like, good enough and the dialogue is good enough, it's not a thrilling and engaging story. It's just, like... not off-putting, you know? It's
again,
like, okay,
zombies are just like the most, you know, we've sort of got everything from, you know, like high art, very nuanced characterization of Last of Us to just bombastic, stupid action movie Resident Evil 4.
Right.
Like, anything else that's coming along is just going to fall somewhere in the middle of that.
And literally those two and that same thing was the case 9 years ago when they started making this game too, you know? So this is out of time in 2014.
Yes.
Let alone now. It's bizarre that it's come out. It's cool, I guess. You know, like, it's a different thing to what it was going to be.
For sure. And I guess, yeah, that first one was like, it was a bit more heavy on the, like, humor than a Resident Evil, you know? Like,
the co-op element of that in particular at the time was a big, like, yeah, you can get four people palling around in the zombie world.
Smashing people's heads off. And,
is that
you know,
back for this? You might not
yes,
have tried it.
But okay. I haven't, but it is. Yeah, 100% is. And I think, yeah, a lot of the early reviews, it wasn't available yet. So there wasn't a bunch of talk about that. But yeah, co-op's there. And you can just drop in and, you know, you and your friend can throw fuel on a zombie and, you know, push it into a fire. Like, you know, all that stuff's there. All of the animation of, like, the, you know, what would you call it? Violence, gore, is very detailed, and I've seen that be lauded by people, but I don't know. Like, I guess that's maybe who this game is for. People who see, you know, a Dawn of the Dead and are like, whoa, the zombie's head got fucking blown up.
Yeah, right. The horror movie gore thing, I've never really been, but there are lots of people who, like, it's slapstick comedy, you know.
Yeah,
like, they get it.
And so in terms of just overall, functionally, it works. All the controls are very logical. They're very similar to every other game of this type, removing having guns. You know, it makes a lot of sense. You can jump straight into it. There's no confusing sort of like mechanics or controls. And if you love the idea of getting a couple of mates on co-op and, yeah, hitting zombies with pool cues, it's probably worth a crack, but it's just so middle of the road, and it's very, old-fashioned in a lot of ways.
Right.
I just can't see myself playing it beyond the first, you know, 5 hours or so.
Sure.
I'm not surprised to hear any of this. It's one of those, like, truck stop cheeseburger types of games. Yeah. Where it's like, you're not going to drive out to the fucking truck stop, but if you're on a drive and it's the equivalent of which is it's 90% off on a sale.
Why not?
Yes. It seems like a real classic Sevener where it's like not doing anything that remarkably, but the person who loves it, it's going to be their game of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
It's like you always find people riding so much harder for a 7 than you do for really anything else.
Yeah. Yes. And I'd call those ones a 5.
But I mean, that's it. Like, I can't, like, I don't really have any, like, strong criticisms against any particular aspect.
Yeah.
If you want to play a melee first-person, you know, action role-playing game, then this is probably going to appeal to you. It just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, it's like sometimes the worst thing you can say about a game is that other games exist.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
why would I play this when I could play, you know.
Is the writing and stuff and the acting all fine? Because in the trailers and everything, it was clearly going for a bit of a attitude tone.
It is, surprisingly. It's not like frustratingly hacky like a lot of stuff has been lately that's tried to be humorous. Like it kind of is funny in parts, and also there are such actually distinct characters, you know. It's not like the criticism of the MCU is that everyone talks like Robert Downey Jr. This is not that. People are from different parts of the world. People have different personalities. So
I'm from LA.
I'm from bloody London, mate.
I'm from...
I've come in on the plane.
London's hard.
Yeah, that's. I love that. LA and then just from London, straight up.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I'm from Scammingham.
Yeah.
Ooh. Close enough.
Okay. I'm from S sucks your blood.
So overall, you know, it's probably better than a 7 because nothing about it is bad. It's just not a game that I'm going to keep playing.
Right.
And I refuse to apologize for that.
Something until being boring, or like just uninteresting, even if it's technically there, though. I reckon we're talking 5 town.
Okay.
Yeah.
But numbers are also stupid.
I'll tell you a game that I'm thinking I'm going to play through to perhaps completion.
Okay.
Based on a little demo that dropped this week.
Yes.
Street Fighter 6.
There's a video of us having a real quick look at it. If you're on Patreon, it's up now. It'll be out next week. If not,
yes.
Yep. Character creator, we fucked around and made the most visually unsettling person.
Yeah.
This cunny came straight out of an Ari Aster movie.
Yeah.
And then tried to zoom through to the point where we could buy clothes.
Yes.
And we're only allowed to buy one hat, but there's a little bit of
a prescribed hat. We didn't even get option of what hat.
Yeah, go have a look at the demo for yourself, though. It's only on PS4 and 5 right now and it's coming to other platforms, I think, next week.
Right.
Or but something we did like that.
We did it together for that video and then I went and had a bit of a fuck around myself. Yeah. I made my
little... Yes, me too.
You can't, your progress isn't carried over, but you can import the character that you make in the demo into the full game.
It's got
which
world,
I intend to do.
World Tour, which is their sort of open worldy single player story mode thing.
It's Yakuza. Let's be honest.
It's sort of
basically Yakuza
2D except fighter in, Yakuza
instead
sort
of fighting in the world, which in Yakuza it sort of cuts off, you know, the rest of the people when you're in the fighting, but it is more 3D beat 'em up, whereas this is the same philosophy except when you start a fight, it's 2D Street Fighter
and
style.
It's goofy, and the main game will have a traditional arcade mode with like a cutscene at the end, I believe.
Yep.
And you can also do versus stuff in this demo and like practice fighting sort of thing.
But yeah, I was most interested to see what this World Tour thing is because that's the big change. And the other big change is that... there's now an option to play it sort of Smash Brothers style where you're not having to do some wacky ass input to do a special move.
Right.
It's all just registered to one button plus up, left, right, down, and you do all your different special attacks.
You've got a light, a medium, and a heavy attack that will be punches or kicks depending on context or another input or something. I'm still not clear on that. Because normally it's traditional Street Fighter is 6 buttons, light, medium, heavy for punch and kick.
Yep.
And then combinations of those and using the stick to wiggle a quarter circle forwards to do your Hadoukens and whatever. But you've got a triangle button now is your special attack, and the direction you're pressing plus that button will dictate which special attack you do.
Yep.
Same, a lot like Smash Brothers. Then on the shoulder buttons, you've got these like other sort of bigger attacks that are like a parry sort of thing, and then a different type of punch sort of guy. Yep. I'm still not exactly clear on what those are.
It's on paper it sounded like they'd really simplified it back, but this style does have its own complexities to it in the same way that Smash does. It's like it's not asking you to do crazy inputs and that stuff is still in there if that's the, you know, if you're one of those people who froths on that stuff. But like that plus the combination of having a bit more of a robust single player story mode does. It's cool that they've done this big thing of like, hey, let's get people in who've always liked the style and vibe of these things but have never been able to engage with them much beyond just picking it up and just mashing the buttons and not really knowing what they're doing.
Because it's the same thing ultimately. Like when you're good enough at Street Fighter, it's not a question of whether or not you'll be able to mechanically put in a Hadouken.
Right.
Because it's a quarter circle forward that you've done a million times and push in whichever level of punch you want. Like you're on a level playing field still because what you're actually doing is predicting your opponent and countering them and all of that stuff.
And having like, fast reflexes.
That's where the complexity is for that. And all the mechanical stuff above a certain level of being good at it becomes irrelevant. It's an input.
Can you switch to a different controller?
You can do
input
both.
Okay. So I assume that will probably still be used for esports and shit.
And people who've just done it that way forever, they prefer it like that.
Yes,
you don't want to relearn it.
Yep.
So it's got the traditional thing there, but I think it just makes total sense to have this simplified version of it where you get to just engage in the more, I guess, tactical elements of a fighting game.
Well, after this long too, I mean, Street Fighter's been around for so long. It's also one of the most recognizable brands in gaming that is going to make a lot of money no matter what. But it's cool. It's cool of them to just go like, "No, we got the space to be able to like mix it up and you know do stuff that's going to maybe bring in some new people rather than being completely set in our ways and just being like, we can just churn out." Put 4 new characters in and
because you've still got to learn your full move set and like what each one does and like it there's still a lot of a very high ceiling there. The same level of height as someone like you just don't have to bother with learning this kind of outdated arcade version of what you were doing. So
and
it's cool.
The character creator, very robust, a lot of freedom in there. I made a guy with a big gut. He's completely wide and flat-chested, big gut, fat ass, bowl haircut, so you can't see his eyes, and big beard. Yeah. And I'm sticking with him.
God.
He's my little guy.
I'm going to make a few, I reckon. I'm going to have a little experiment.
Yeah.
I'll probably pick something to model it on. I haven't got there yet,
though. I'm keen to, so you can go look at your like recipe list after you make a character, and it will show you just a screen with all the settings.
Oh yeah.
I think for the purposes of sharing that. Mm-hmm, and I'm going to wait for someone else to make a really good version of a character I want to play.
Right.
And steal that one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, check it out. Check out the demo.
It's fun. Excited it's to a play good time. It.
Yeah. Excited to see that concept of the world tour thing. Seems like it's pretty dense and pretty, yeah, it's fun. Seems like they've pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that game too. The fighting is a good time.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's seemingly going to be a ton in there. It looks nice.
Yeah.
I'm keen to play it in like a fucking just over a month.
Yeah, yes.
This year.
Yeah.
Well, train's coming towards us.
Get on the YouTube if you want to see us playing through that. And head to filthycasuals.com.au if you want to get the links to everything else that we have going on.
Yeah, you can read Knox's review of Dredge there.
Yep.
I wrote up, my thoughts on Dead Island 2 if you want to go back and remind yourself of what I said on this podcast.
Yeah,
and
we're going to be doing... to share that stuff around on websites and whatever too if you want.
We'd love that.
We're going to be doing more of it as well. Yep. Kind of like it's A, fun to do, and B, doing some things to, you know, share the love.
Yes.
I'm going real hippie mode this year. That's my feeling.
We want to, what's the word? As broad a tent as possible, right?
But with Cool sleeping inside of it still.
No, it's a circus tent.
Yeah, just trying out some new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of fun.
Well, thanks very much for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Peace to the world. Stop war. They shouldn't have released Advance Wars 1 and 2. It's still wrong of them.
Man, the AI is never going to be able to compete.
I know. How do I forget every fucking time? An AI would be able to do it.
Oh, possum spit.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.